When I was thinking about the theme for this week, as we're talking about remembering our ancestors, Karen came up with this idea, I believe it was Karen, that of writing the names on the strips of fabric, which I love this idea. We're in the final weeks of hospice care for my father-in-law in Holland right now, Lisa's dad, and so the idea of death and dying and preparing for the blending, the melding of those two worlds, this barrier that can sometimes thin, this veil between what we see in the next world. So as we think about these names, as we think about this, for many of us, these names represent stories, laughter, love, and loss woven into our own. And it got me thinking about the idea of a thread and these threads of our ancestors that connect us. Over the past few weeks, we've added names to the ropes as we've written names on these strips of cloth, threads of color that represent the people who have shaped our lives. And today we see them woven together, forming something beautiful and connected. In a memoir, Cicely Tyson said, "Knowing your generational story firms the ground upon which you stand. Makes your life, your struggles, your triumphs bigger than your lone existence. It connects you to a grand plot line." When we know our story, we understand that our lives are part of a much bigger tapestry. Our joys, our struggles, even our small triumphs, they're connected to something far greater. Just as each and every one of us carries the threads of a generational story, so too our community, C3, carries this thread. When I prepared the start of this presentation, I've kind of modified this year, but when I prepared it last year, it was such a treat to be able to gather these old directories and photos through the years. And the more time that I spend connecting with the threads of the story, it reminds me of how valuable it is to stay connected to our past, where we've come from in these threads. C3 first began as First Reformed Church of Spring Lake, founded in 1870 by Dutch settlers seeking a local place of worship. When the new church building was dedicated on September 8, 1870, the scaffolding was still in place, and as there were no seats, boards for the new building were used as seats. I trust none of you were around to remember that. But let that be a reminder to you when you think that the chairs you're sitting on are a little uncomfortable. Be glad that Shannon's not, like, literally making you sit on the boards of a future building. In 1938, after nearly 70 years of worship in the original White Frame Church on Summit Street, the congregation built a larger sanctuary on Exchange Street. I've been serving as a lead teacher here at C3 for almost 18 months now, and I'm just one part of a much longer story. Before me, the community was shaped by a long line of leaders, each helping C3 evolve into what it is today. So, ladies and gentlemen, meet the bachelors. I mean pastors. These eligible bachelors, some of them, have some interesting stories from the old directories I scanned. So, for example, in 1903, the eighth pastor of the church, we're told, arrived alone. Reverend Nettinga was a bachelor. Gasp. The members didn't appreciate this, and they discussed solutions, finally deciding to replace the small, old-fashioned parsonage with a new, larger home with the hope that this would encourage Mr. Nettinga to consider sharing it with someone. They congratulated themselves on their creativity when Mr. Nettinga moved into the new home with a bride. In 1917, the 11th pastor arrived, we're told, in style. Reverend Molema was driving a new Maxwell. This event prompted the building of a new garage behind the parsonage. And as I said last year, I am still waiting for my Maxwell to go along with this position. It has not materialized yet. In 1925, the 12th pastor, we're told, arrived conditionally. Reverend Lepetak stipulated that he would not preach in Dutch, thus ending a 55-year tradition of holding services in Dutch. And that tradition has held, as I do not know a word of Dutch, nor can I barely pronounce most of your Dutch names. Stumble over it all the time. In the early 1960s, Reverend Richard Rem served briefly at First Reform before leaving to pastor a church in New Jersey and then later study theology in the Netherlands. In 1971, Rem returned to lead the congregation and began transforming it into a more open community. The church was renamed Christ Community Church, three C's in there, to reflect its broader vision. By the 1990s, Rem's challenges to traditional doctrines, particularly around salvation, sexuality, and scripture, those challenging S's, led to tensions within the RCA. In 1997, the church voted to separate from the denomination. Soon after, allegations of misconduct and financial strain marked the end of Rem's tenure, and the church entered the 2000s with heavy debts and internal upheaval. In 2004, Reverend Ian Lawton arrived down under from Australia. It's my best Aussie accent's not good. Guiding the church into a new era. Under his leadership, the community embraced a post-religious inclusive identity, exploring non-traditional forms of worship and belief. Lawton encouraged open inquiry, humanistic ethics, and a welcoming stance towards all beliefs and backgrounds. The name evolved again to C3 Exchange. The cross was removed from the building as a symbol of this shift and as it was donated to another congregation. Ian's declaration of atheism in 2013, now we're getting to the era where some of you may remember this, caused another round of departures and some new arrivals. Around the same time, financial burdens eventually led to leaving the church property and relocating to the Grand Haven Community Center, where here we are today. After Lawton's departure, Barbara Lee served as interim leader, helping the community stabilize and formalize governance. In 2016, Jennifer Loudon became the lead teacher, bringing a global justice and ecological focus rooted in liberation theology. I'll pause here for a second and note that I'm so appreciative at coming into a community where there is such a rich history and how each individual leader brought aspects of the things they were passionately connected to and wove it into the fabric of the tapestry that is C3 today. Later, Kent Dobson became the lead teacher, guiding C3 through a season of spiritual exploration that invited big questions and a more mystical lens, more Jungian lens, what it means to be human. After Kent stepped down in 2023, a lead teacher search committee was formed, a group known for its thoroughness, its dedication, and the sheer number of meetings that they held, according to those who survived. I haven't checked, but I don't believe any of the names and the lives remembered were from those that served on that committee. But I heard it was close for some. Through the years, there's been many versions of what we now call C3. It changed and evolved a lot. This is my favorite variant of the logo from April Fool's of this year, where we said for cost-cutting measures, we're going to drop one of our C's. Still pushing for that variant. I'll admit I struggle a little less now than when I did when I first joined this community nearly a year and a half ago. But like many of you, I still have a hard time explaining exactly what C3 is. A spiritual community. Talk about two heavily loaded words that carry a lot of different meanings to different people. So even when we say our name, it's hard to even describe what it is. While we identify as a spiritual community, We sometimes get called or confused with a church because of our similar functions. But unlike most churches, we're not tied, as Bob said, to any denomination, to any particular ways of belief and being. And for most of us, I would say probably all of us here, that feels like a relief. It feels like liberation. We're not tied to this denomination or doctrine. Our members come from all kinds of spiritual and non-religious backgrounds. And that diversity is part of what makes C3 so unique. You see, this community has always been made up of people who showed up, people who cared deeply, who ask the tough questions, who dream of a better world. A little bit later on, we're going to be affirming our values together. Those values inform how we live and move in the world. They're a compass that we can use to orient ourselves in a place or in a world that's often changing. And you and I are part of this long 155-year history. We're part of this living thread. Our ancestors, both biological and spiritual, don't just exist in history books or in old church directories. They live on in the values that we carry forward. The compassion that we show. The courage to reimagine what a spiritual community can be. I think it's actually great that we struggle to define exactly what we are, because it means that we continue to push the boundaries. We continue to function outside of the box. So may we walk with gratitude for those who made our lives possible. It's not a coincidence that this time of remembering coincides with the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, the remembering of the ancestors and their active role in our lives today, not just as a platitude of reading some names and saying, oh, I miss that person when they used to be with us, but to recognize their very real presence in our lives in so many small ways. Those pictures of the pastors who went before us, we have no connection to them, but we bear the threads of the fabric that they wove that is our community that we still use today. It's been this long line of handing off, of passing on the baton, of continuing to hand on our community to one and to the next to share that responsibility. So I'm going to invite our musicians to come back up. We're going to, again, just celebrate this moment in our history. And may we walk with gratitude for those who made our lives possible. May we live in such a way that future generations will say the same of us. We're grateful for the threads of the tapestry, the lives who came before, the ones who set the stage, the shoulders on which we stand on, and even the ones who made the mistakes for which others had to pay the price and years of reparations had to be made. We're all part of the same flawed community that never claimed to be perfect from the get-go. But we're a community that keeps growing and evolving and celebrating the threads of our ancestors that come together.